At 2 p.m. Central Time, David Culley called a staff meeting, got all of his assistants in a room, and told them to their faces that he had, in fact, been informed that he was fired as the Houston Texans coach after just one season.
Welcome to The Bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, featuring John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
I love being around them.
Get involved by phone at 713-780-3776. Now coming to you live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, the kings of Houston sports radio, John and Lance.
Good Friday morning, everybody, and what a Friday morning it is. That was Ian Rappaport on the NFL Network yesterday. Not breaking, but at least breaking it on NFL Network that the Texans had fired David Culley. There is so much stuff out there right now, so much that it's difficult to discern exactly who and what is correct. So much talk about how much money David Culley is going to get paid, differing reports, not important. What is important is that the Houston Texans are moving on from David Culley after 1 year. And every report, and we've got sound bites from all over, every report is that the Houston Texans' job is the least attractive, and in large part because of the buffoonery that's going on behind the scenes. It is amazing to me. I don't care how much money David Culley, because there's different reports. Adam Schefter said 8, right? Now, and Tom Pelissero said 22. Ian Rappaport reports that 17 more on his deal, which makes it 22.
Yeah, David Culley says he has 3 more years.
3 more years left on his
deal. Instead of 4, I guess?
I don't know. I have no idea.
Well, didn't you say he had a 5-year deal?
That was a report. But everybody's guessing on this deal.
I guess you have to go with David Culley.
Yeah, I would think David Culley. But no matter what the number is, if it's more than 0, then the Texans can't be dumber. And if it's $22 million, this organization throws $22 million around like it's tip money. Hey, Tunsil, you want 22? Here's 22. Hey, Culley, a guy who has zero leverage, was not on anyone's radar, was not thought to be head coaching material, proved that he wasn't head coaching material, and you are giving him guaranteed money. If I'm Cal, I'm probably saying, and you wasted $22 million of my dollars on David Culley, a guy who would have taken the job. Now, honestly, what was David Culley making in the league before this? As a position coach all these years?
You know, probably in the neighborhood of $500,000 to $800,000.
800, maybe a million.
Not as a position coach. You have to be a great position coach. So no, it was probably in the neighborhood of $500,000 to $800,000. And 800 would be a really good number. By the way, this was an opportunity of a lifetime. But why did he get it? Well, he got it as we've already surmised on the show that, and it crystallized once you heard that Romeo Crennel and most importantly the general manager are on headphones during the game with in-game strategy stuff. David Culley, who was not even considered a candidate by anyone else, a guy who everyone that I spoke with after hiring said, amazing person, great guy, you're going to love him.
Everybody.
Not so sure about him being a coach, a head coach. Just doesn't make a lot of sense. Everyone said this, and then you realize once you hear all the stories that this was really a move that was made so that Nick, in his first year, would have no pushback from the head coach and could do what he thinks he needs to do to get this team, and I'm not second guessing the fact that Nick wants to do what he thinks is right and wants to have all this control, because that's the Belichick way. I mean, that's all he's learned. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, David Culley got this job because he was a go-along-to-get-along guy. He was a great personality guy, the opposite of Bill O'Brien in the room. He was a strategic hire who was given an outlandish amount of money to do this. So big ups to David Culley. I mean, the Texans do throw $22 million around like it's nothing.
It's their
money. That's great. And like I said, shout out to David Culley for having his reputation trounced on at the end of his career, being put into a position that he had no business being in. But he gets the most golden of golden parachutes.
Everybody who's upset with the Texans are such an unprofessional. David Culley, okay, oh, poor David Culley, he only got 1 year. Another African-American coach who really doesn't get a chance. David Culley should have never had it. David Culley has no. 20. I don't care if it's $8 million, $22 million. David Culley made out on this deal. Are you kidding me?
David Culley was wonderful. David Culley was not qualified for
this
job.
He was not making this kind of money anywhere, anytime, any place. No,
but he wasn't qualified for this job.
He wasn't qualified.
He was given a lottery ticket. And ultimately, it's going to be good for him and his family and grandchildren
Great.
That's going to be great for them. He was put in a position that was an unwinnable position. We knew it. Everyone called him Bo Culley. It was similar to the Bo Porter situation.
Yep.
None of the things we've said over the last year and year and a half have been untrue. That's just been a year.
Yeah.
It's been a full calendar year.
That's it.
Nothing has been inaccurate. It's all worked out pretty much like we thought. I thought he might get an extra year. We'll discuss why he didn't, because I think this is very telling.
We got a lot to do, Mike Florio was on with the Wheelhouse guys yesterday. Very nice job by them getting Mike Florio. We've got Adam Schefter, who's going to join us in 9 minutes right here. He's limited on time because he is a busy, and so he has made time for us this morning. In 9 minutes, we'll have Adam Schefter joining us here. But Mike Florio was on yesterday. And said what we've been saying for this whole process, and especially this process of evaluation of David Culley, is a sham.
Dysfunctional teams do dysfunctional things, and it is an example of dysfunction for a Texans team that knew damn well what they were going to do when the season ended. Really, you need 4 days to engage in some high-level evaluation and analysis, and you don't know when the regular season ends, what you're going to do, and as a result of those 4 days of deliberations like a jury in a murder case, you come to the conclusion to move on, and they get the hell out of here with that crap. They knew what they were going to do, and they created the impression that they engaged in some careful deliberation, so it wouldn't be obvious that David Culley was hired last year to be fired this year.
You know, I'm get the hell out of here with that crap. I love Florio. I'm not so sure about that per se. I really think that the Texans actually, what are we doing? And this is the reason. This to me is the reason. They found out that the guy they want is going to be there.
I believe that whoever they hire is someone they already know they're going to hire. That the search process, like it is for so many teams, it's a charade, it's a ruse, it's an exercise in complying with the Rooney Rule. It's also an opportunity to pick brains of coaches who you may face at some point. You can learn all sorts of things from a guy who genuinely is trying to get a job and is going to come in and do an earnest and honest and candid interview. You can learn a lot.
I don't know that they're...
Well, this is the thing. It's Rooney Rule. I mean, I think it's interesting he says that because I think the next head coach is black. I think it's going to be Jerod Mayo from... Jerod Mayo from the New England Patriots, former linebacker, a guy who's on the staff right now and DC right now, right? So I mean, he's the linebackers coach. He's a guy that people around the league really think highly of. They know that he's on the fast track to become a head coach.
He's on some not only this list but other lists.
He's on other lists. To me, there are three guys, and they're all Patriots: Josh McDaniels, who you look at, Flores, and Mayo. I think anybody that is going to be part of Nick Caserio's clique is going to know the ways of the Patriot. And I think that's a pretty obvious thing. He's very secretive. He has it's us against the world. You live inside your little bubble and your little shell.
No.
And he's inside that bubble and shell. He checks a lot of boxes. Competent coach, African American, inside the Patriots bubble.
All right. Let's take a break here. To me, he makes all the sense. Brian Flores makes no sense, but we'll talk about all that.
But I think that's why. I think this move was made because they had to get Jerod Mayo. This is my idea. Or whoever the next head coach is, I agree with Mike Florio, and it's what I was saying last night. I don't think they wait until Thursday unless somebody else has vetted this situation and said, yeah, I'm very interested in your job.
Yeah, exactly.
It had to be the right guy.
We'll do that on the other side with Adam Schefter right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Right now, though, we're talking about HRP. HRP.net, 281-880-6525. It is the way to go, people. If you, especially if you have a payroll company, They're not helping you tax time. This is tax time right now. You got to get all of this stuff ready for April and have it all and make sure that it's all great. Because if you're non-compliant with the Affordable Care Act, then guess what? You're going to get fined. And guess what? We never get fined. No one from HRMP, none of their clients get fined because they know everything about the Affordable Care Act. As a matter of fact, in years past, they said, listen, have people call us. Just call. I know that they're not a client of ours, but if they have any questions about the Affordable Care Act, we have experts here, and we'll help them out. We'll help your listeners out. But listen, if you're looking for that kind of expertise in the Affordable Care Act or with your PPP and your small business loans, all of the stuff that was that you had to have during the pandemic, ours was great. How was yours? If it wasn't great, then go with ours. They're the best. HRP.net, 281-880-6525 or HRP.net.
This is Nolan Ryan, and you're listening to The Bench with John and Lance on ESPN 97.5. A couple of knuckleheads, if you ask me.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, this is The Bench with John Granato and Lance Zierlein on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Adam Schefter is going to be calling us and joining us in just a second here on the show. Nick Caserio's comments yesterday were that they had philosophical differences, that he and Coach Culley had philosophical differences. Can you see Culley walking in there and pounding his fist on the table and said, damn it, Nick, we're going this way with the organization, not your way? What philosophical differences? Nance, name the philosophical differences they
have. No idea. I can't imagine what a philosophical difference would be. As a matter of fact, Ian Rappaport, well, we don't know, but Ian Rappaport believes that he knows. And think back, when you hear Ian's answer, I think you'll hearken back to another answer David Culley gave.
Now, as far as the reason why David Culley was fired and Mike Tomlin is now the only African-American head coach in the NFL, from what I understand, it was philosophical differences. In other words, the Houston Texans wanted David Culley to be open to making staff changes, specifically on the offensive side of the ball. Tim Kelly, who was eventually fired along with Culley, had the 32nd ranked offense. They wanted him to take a look at that, evaluate it, and say changes need to be made. He did not want to do that. And there were other issues, in-game issues, disciplinary issues. But from what I understand, the philosophical issues were probably as much as anything.
Now, we know that David Culley had issues with Zach Cunningham and Charles Omenihu, like Justin Reed. We know that he did some things. Now, I would think that general manager was on board with that. But maybe, you know, maybe he wasn't. Maybe there was something to that. Extent. I do think that David Culley was.
I find it hard to believe that David Culley was able to go to the bathroom without asking Nick Caserio.
Yeah, I mean that's what it seems like. That's what it feels like. And of course, I do think that you know, the Tim Kelly thing. I can see Dave. Now, if you're a go along to get along coach, you would think that you just say, yeah, I'll just you want Tim Kelly gone, then I'll make a change, and Tim Kelly will be gone.
Although he's such a nice guy that he probably
should. Well, but you know what? He's a lifer as an assistant coach. And you know what? I'm just telling you, I do have the background of my dad as a lifer as an assistant coach. That's a different job than the head coach. They don't have the same amenities, the same perks. They're on tighter. Things aren't guaranteed the same way they are for coaches. And he may be stood up for a guy that he believed in is what he may have done. He may have also done it knowing full well if they fight. They fire me, I get out of this mess. I get out of this toxic location, and I move on. As a matter of fact, I got a direct message from somebody who is has some acquaintance with David Culley, and apparently, I just say this without violating what was told to me. I don't think David Culley is shedding any tears being gone from the Texans right now. Because he knows how dysfunctional it is.
Oh, well, he lived it. He's in the middle of it. Well, it's funny, though. You know, I'm not making – if he pounded his fist on the table and said, no, I'm not firing anybody, it's amazing because when asked about firing Zach Cunningham, do you remember he said – how tough was it to get rid of – it wasn't tough at all. It was easy. As a matter of fact, beat it. So as an assistant coach, he's like, no. I ain't firing no assistant coaches. I know what that's all about. But firing players, that was simple for him. That's kind of funny that the coach. Now, again, I find it so hard to believe that Cully would pound his fist, but maybe he did feel like, I'm not, listen, my staff is my staff, and I'm staying with my staff. Adam Schefter's joining us right now here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. He is the preeminent NFL scoopster out there, and he has graced us by telling us he would be able to join us here on the show this morning. So let's go to Adam Schefter. We're waiting on Schefter. We got him. Okay, we're waiting on Adam Schefter here. He's going to be joining us in just a second.
Okay.
Adam Schefter joining us right now here on the show. Adam, thanks for your time. We know you're busy right now.
Hello, gentlemen. Good morning.
Thank you for joining us. We don't understand it, Adam, a guy who had zero leverage that and the money is differing on David Culley and what he is getting from the Houston Texans, but how incompetent is this organization? 1 year with this guy, and you're paying him for however many years, a guy who had zero leverage coming into this thing.
Yeah, I do believe the walkaway is $17 million that he walks away with. I do think that that's accurate. There were people that were very insistent upon that number. But listen, that's the owner's money. And the $17 million walk away, a lot of money, whatever the figure is. And that's what was in the contract. And look, he took on a big task, and he knew what was ahead. And, you know, I believe that they all knew that it was a real chance that he was going to be one and done. That was, I think, the sense and expectation from a lot of people around the league. And I think during the season, the Texans thought that basically he would be a lame duck. A lame duck. And so he's being compensated for basically stepping in and trying to absorb all that everybody knew that organization was going to go through over the last year. So David Culley is entitled to every dollar he gets. Their money, if they want to $17 million to walk away,
I don't care, Adam, about I don't care about owners' money. They don't care about my money. I don't care about theirs. They can do what they want with it. But fundamentally, there is an issue when you're still paying Bill O'Brien. You paid Rick Smith for so long, Brian Gain for so long. Like, this shows a level of incompetence up at the top and upper management. And I understand that Bill O'Brien is gone, and so Nick Caserio, it takes a little while to clean it up. But I also know that Deshaun Watson doesn't ever want to play for the Texans again, in large part because of ownership.
That's true. So they've got a lot of work to get done and a lot to clean up and really, honestly, a culture to reset. Because their reputation around the league is not very good.
No, it's not. It does feel like the sense is that the Texans waited on deciding on David Culley until they had someone in mind, and maybe someone they contacted and talked to. And a lot of people believe, as a matter of fact, I think you tweeted yesterday about Gerard Mayo from the New England Patriots. Tell us what you know about Mayo and about the potential here in Houston.
Well, I just think he's a young guy that's going to be in demand. The question is he ready right now? I think there are people that wonder that. But they also know that he's going to be a head coach at some point in time, that he's dynamic, he's charismatic, he's all those things, and he's going to be a good head coach one day. The question is it this day? Do they want to bring him in perhaps before he's ready and grow with him, or do they want to wait a little bit? I just think that he will be in the mix for that job. I'm not telling he gets the job. I don't know that he gets the job. I don't know if they know who gets the job right now. But I'll be very surprised if he's not in the mix of candidates that's under consideration for that job.
Does Brian Flores make sense for this organization? What with, you know, what we've heard behind the scenes, how his attitude, much like Bill O'Brien, as opposed to the David Culley, the nice guy, the guy who was basically a puppet for Nick Caserio, does Brian Flores make sense now?
You know, Brian Flores makes sense a lot of places. I just don't know that it's going to wind up in Houston. Brian Flores is interviewing with the Bears today. There's been some talk that the Giants are interested. I don't know ultimately that he's going to wind up in Houston. Like I said, I think Brian Flores makes sense anywhere you want to put him. Anywhere you want to put him. And we'll see how this plays out with the Texans.
How do you view the hirings? John and I try to go through a list of the best and worst hirings, how they would rank. And I know you have to take a lot of different things into account here. As someone who has a feel for the league, where do you think the Texans would rank amongst candidates? Because Texans can talk about anybody that they want to come over, but if that team doesn't view the Texans as a viable location, especially for their first job, they're not going to. Those candidates are not going to be interested.
Well, let me say this, that there are 32 of these jobs, and so they're always going to be desirable, and there always will be somebody, a la David Culley, that wants to coach that football team. Always. Do I think that the Texans job right now is as desirable as some of the others? Probably not, but I don't think that means very much. You know, they're in the process of trying to remake the franchise. They still offer that opportunity. There is some talent there. And if the people, the person that they hire, has worked with Nick before, then that will be more appealing. You know, so, I mean, there are certain things that the Texans do offer. I don't think you say, boy, that's a job that I really want to go take that job right now. But it is a head coaching job, and somebody absolutely will want it.
How does this affect the Deshaun Watson situation, or does it at all?
I don't believe it does. I think Deshaun Watson's situation remains unchanged no matter who is coaching the Texans.
Last question, because we appreciate your time here, Adam.
Yeah.
Is this officially the Patriots' way here? You know, I know it's a phrase, but with Nick Caserio here, spending that much time with Bill Belichick, should we just expect the same Patriot way of operating and maneuvering for the Texans? Because if so, that's why I'm only looking at Josh McDaniels, Gerard Mayo, and Brian Flores, because they fit the bill of what Nick Caserio knows.
I don't know that that's necessarily true. You know, it's not the Patriot way. It's the Nick Caserio, Jack Easterby way. That's what it is right now. And so, they take their influences from wherever it is, their perspectives from wherever they are, not just New England, you know, from life. But there's no denying that there's a big New England influence, but they're going to be run the way that they want to run the team. And however that turns out. And so, again, they're in a challenging spot here. There's a lot of work to do. The organization needs to be remade. They know all the work that's ahead of them, and that's why they're given the time that they are and the money that they are so that they can undertake a huge project of trying to get the Texans back to respectability, and there's a long way to go.
You have so many sources. Is there any other name that we're missing right now, Adam Schefter, for this job?
Of course. Yeah, there are other people out there. Yeah.
Who do you think are the three hottest candidates in around football right now?
Well, I believe that Dan Quinn's going to get a head coaching job if he wants one. I believe Brian Flores will get a head coaching job if he wants one. And then, look, there's a number of qualified candidates out there. Todd Bowles in Tampa, Eric Bieniemy in Kansas City. You know, we go through the list. It really becomes a question of what you desire, the kind of coach you're looking for, young, old, experience, inexperienced. I'm a big Jim Caldwell fan. The organization came very close to hiring him last year. Mm-hmm. Jim Caldwell would have been a huge asset for the Houston Texans last year. He's a great man, and they went a different route. I'd like to hope that Jim Caldwell will get a head coaching job in the cycle. I don't know that he will or he won't, but he's a guy that, to me, certainly warrants attention.
Before I let you go, you mentioned one name that we talked a lot about in the past, and that's Jack Easterby. How entrenched right now is Jack from a standpoint? Our idea, we believe he doesn't really have anything to do with the quote-unquote football side, but is Jack still influential in the building?
He's got a prominent role there. He's got the owner's ear.
Yeah.
So, yeah, of course.
Honestly, that's all it takes.
Feels like that's a problem for a lot of people who are candidates for the GM job, so it's interesting that he still holds that kind of esteem in that building. That's Adam Schefter right here on ESPN 97.5, NFL Insider for ESPN, just the best in the business, and we appreciate you being here, Adam. Thanks so much for your time.
Thank you guys for having me. Have a great day. Enjoy your weekend, and we'll see where their search goes.
Nice. Appreciate it. There's Adam Schefter right here, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Wow. There'll be bets to be made on who is. We got a lot more. We're just getting started on this thing. We've got so many more people to hear from. And if you want to get in, any thoughts that you have about your team, I guess your team, all you got to do is give us a call, 713-780-3776.
This is a good timing for my bookie because there's always. Is it not my bookie here?
Yeah, my
bookie. It is, yeah. There's always.
Oh, yeah.
Plays on who's going to be the next head coach.
Oh, no, there are absolutely. You'll be able to find these bets on MyBookie as exactly who is going to be the next coach. You'll get odds. It's so anything that you want to bet on. It's ridiculous. Live betting on so many games. You got boxing, MMA, motorsports, soccer, tennis, WNBA, basketball, CFL, cricket, Aussie rules football, cycling, esports. It's unbelievable. You got a whole horse racing book. You've got a casino there that you can go to. All of it at mybookie.ag. And if you refer a friend, you get a bonus. You make a deposit, you get a bonus. It's what they do. If you're looking for the best way to win and get paid, it's mybookie.ag. Promo code BET975. Listen, it's so much fun. It is so great. If you're looking for just a fun way, hey, you know who the next head coach is going to be? Bet it at mybookie.ag, promo code BET975.
Stay up to date with the latest innovations hitting the city of Houston by visiting innovationmap.com or follow them on any of your social media platforms. Just search Innovation Map. The godfather of Houston sports radio, the preeminent NFL draft analyst, you found The Bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, 731 on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. 713-780-3776, 713-780-3776. If you got anything that you want to talk about here about the situation, so amazing. So amazing. 1 year and done. I've seen multiple articles, Lance, and about this and where the Texans stand. Adam Schefter said, you know, he's right. Yeah, you're going to be able to. And they'll probably get their guy because it's going to be Mayo or it's going to be McDaniels or it's going to be Brian Flores. They'll probably get their guy, the guy that they want. I find it. Florio said, oh, they've got their guy already. The coaching search is going to be a sham. But honestly, when you see this kind of buffoonery going on, how attractive is this job? Honestly,
I don't think it's – well, I think Adam Schefter just told you he's really dialed in, and he's not one for a lot of hyperbole. He just said that the Texans are not very well regarded around the league, and I can – you know, I told you that last year. It's it's amazing how many people talk about – and that's when they were talking about the head coach and a GM job search. The Texans are thought very they're really not – they're thought very lowly of around the league because of ownership, because of the fact that, you know, Easterby has a prominent role. And I'm saying that just because it's highly unusual for a guy with his background to have such a prominent position – inside a building. He's the one who negotiated Deshaun Watson's contract. I mean, he helped get the, everyone knows, listen, people talk in the business. Everyone knows that he's one of the primary reasons that Brian Gang got pushed out of the building, why Chris Olsen got pushed out of the building. It's a mess in that regard because they know he's the happy, smiling guy, but he's on the sideline during games. He is the owner. He's the one who finessed the owner into hiring a guy who wasn't on the search committee's list this year, at least for this one. And he's the guy who negotiated the salary and the contract for the GM, who was essentially targeted because he was going to keep Jack in place, where guys like Omar Khan and Louis Riddick and I know those two specifically said, when they were asked, would you keep Jack? Because they were told, you don't have to keep Jack Easterby. They both said no. And Marvin Lewis said no. I mean, this is all, I know for a lot of fans, you don't care. I'm just trying to give you some information in case it helps you to better understand why people believe that this is a job that is really not going to be something that they are used to from a structural standpoint when they come from another organization. It's going to be a mix of Patriot stuff with weird-ass Texan stuff. Like Jack Easterby being able to get to the owner and make the owner do whatever he wants, that's not a Patriot thing. That's a weirdo Texans thing. But then you blend that with a general manager who's on the headphones helping to make game decisions. That's a weirdo Patriot thing. So it's a blend of paranoia and stupidity. So sleep tight, Texans fans. Paranoia and stupidity, that's not typically something that is going to draw in the best candidates. There's a reason that David Culley was the head coaching candidate. Once again, shout out to his bag, because Mitch Fox couldn't have drawn it up any better at the sleeping bag for David Culley. With that said, it's not best for the organization. It's not best for the Houston Texans fans. And I want what's best for the fans. I want the fans to have a product that they can be proud of, that they can enjoy, that the game day atmosphere can go back to being something that is that you look forward to on Sundays. You look forward to watching road games at 12 o'clock or 3 o'clock. And right now it's not the case, and in large part because the roster's jacked up because of Bill and Jack, but then also because the whole thing is screwed up and it starts at the top. And that ain't changing. I mean, Cal McNair is not selling a team anytime soon.
Yeah.
But Janice isn't. So
that's the unfortunate part.
So dealing with that means that you're going to have to deal with Jack Easterby, and it will never be a situation that is like a normal situation for another program. It used to be, and then Bill O'Brien came in and really changed the dynamic, and then now the vacuum in power has created a very unusual situation that a lot of candidates are just simply not going to be used to.
Yeah.
And they're not going to like it. A lot of them won't like it either.
So this is amazing to go from it would be amazing to me that they get a Brian Flores. Brian Flores, by all accounts, bumped heads with Chris Greer. Maybe he learned something from that in that, hey, I'm going to get fired unless I play ball. But that is more O'Brien-like, isn't it? Than certainly you got the opposite of Bill O'Brien with David Culley. Who wants on the headset? Jack, you can be on the field. Cal, come to practice. You can play safety if you want.
But apparently he stood up for himself and what he believed in, which was that Tim Kelly should stay. Now, for all you fans who are upset that David this is also strange. If you're a Houston Texans fan, I get that some people are going to look at David Culley and see him as an African-American coach and think, well, this is wrong. I can tell you this. David Culley got the lottery ticket that people around the league would have died for, especially somebody who was a lifer in pro football. To be able to go out with that golden parachute, they would have killed for. I don't like the way David Culley was given that, which is great for him. He's not a guy who should have been in consideration for the head coaching job, but we know that there was, we know he was chosen for a reason. The racial component, I get why some people are upset, because you look at Steve Wilks got a year in Arizona, which is highly unusual. David Culley, a year here. Brian Flores, 3 years. And a winning season the last couple where he had a seven-game win streak. Well, the Miami situation, he was in essence fired by a black general manager who they couldn't get along on the quarterback situation. Steve Wilks was the wrong guy. They made a huge mistake, and they basically wanted to pair Kyler Murray with Cliff Kingsbury. That was a double high. That was a hire/draft, which was made with the idea of we're going to hire Cliff because we're going to draft Kyler. That's why that thing was pieced together the way it was. And then with the Texans, he was a very specific hire. So I understand people being upset about that, especially people of color who look at it and say, this is bullcrap. Guys that we back are not given a chance. However, if you watch Texans game, come on now. You guys saw what we saw. You watch what we watched. You heard what we heard. David Culley was in way over his head. And this is not the guy that's going to lead the Texans to any kind of prominent position. So I get wanting David to have more. I think all head coaches need more than a year. I think head coaches need 3 years. He was never the right guy. And I'm hoping the Texans hire the right guy. David Culley got an amazing parting gift for his career in the NFL. And there's no reason for him to work again, unless he really wants to, because the Texans owe him so much money that anywhere he works, he'll just be working for free. Because whatever, like, basically, he'll go work somewhere for $100,000.
Beautiful parachute. Just go and enjoy it.
That's
Coach
what
Culley.
I would do.
Do like Joe Judge did. Joe Judge got fired. He had cases and cases of beer and pizzas delivered to his house. Go have a pizza and beer party.
No, nachos. David Culley is.
I'm gonna tell you about David Culley, who's a junkie.
He is a junkie.
The
for
end
nachos.
Of that was he was a junkie for Mexican food. Mexican is what food. He told us, or yeah. Nachos. He's either nachos or Mexican food. We played it for so. What did he? What was
nachos?
It?
Yeah. It was nachos because like, we made fun like, of that. He probably thinks that like Taco you. Bell is good.
Yeah, just like
you probably could have just rolled into a La Lucha or Papacitos or some. You probably could have seen David Culley last night with a big ass plate of nachos. He might have just been basic and gone to some other basic place. Maybe he went to Nymphas on Navigation. That's well known place. Good food.
Well, you know,
maybe that's where he went.
And that's the OG, right?
Yeah, it's one of the OG spots.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Let's get Michael in here. He wants to talk about this wonderful situation with our team. Hey, Michael.
Hey, man. How are y'all doing?
Good. How are you?
Lance, I want to know what the trump card was that Bill O'Brien had over Rick Smith, because you mentioned that the other day, and I think we've all heard kind of rumblings of something like that over the years, but it's never really been defined what that was.
So nah, it's private. I can't discuss what I've heard that Bill thought he had. The thing is, in football circles, there's talk about that Bob McNair flipped to Bob's side. When I say Bob, Bill O'Brien. Bill O'Brien was going to get got. Like, he was going to be done that year, and then he pulled a miracle out by somehow getting rid of Rick Smith. And I think he basically convinced the owner that Rick was not the right guy. He was not the right person. He was not the right evaluator. He didn't put the work in. All the stuff that Bill O'Brien was trying to build his, was trying to basically build his own file on why Rick Smith wasn't the right guy. And eventually he defeated Rick Smith. And it was highly unlikely. Do you remember? I want to harken back to when this happened. When Bill O'Brien got the extension, we were like, what the hell? And that's when you knew that Rick Smith was done. Because for Bill O'Brien to get an extension, and I think Bill hated Rick more than the other way around, but Rick at least had some competent elements of being a general manager. Rick had a good run. It was probably time to go. But Bob was out there, Bill O'Brien, B-O-B, was out there actively trying to make this a reality, going to the owner, doing whatever he could. And finally he thought, I'm gonna shoot my shot here and see if I can finally get rid of him. And I think he used whatever leverage he had to get rid of Rick and took over the job. Of course, Rick was dealing with some serious personal stuff too, with his wife who had beaten cancer but had dealt with a lot. I mean, they had dealt with a lot in there, from a personal standpoint. When you're fighting cancer and stuff like that, that's a lot. And I can just tell you this. I lost a lot of respect for Bill O'Brien. And I'll never say all the stuff that I know about a lot of different stuff, but the way that he maneuvers and moves, you could probably hear it on the radio.
Good luck, Jacksonville.
I think off the field he may be just fine as a person and all that stuff. And I've had conversations. I tried to help the team, with information given to Rick over the years that I gave Rick that helped him with Deshaun Watson, with information to Bill O'Brien trying to help in a single year with their offensive line selection and stuff like that. But I can tell you this, I don't really have a lot of respect for the way Bill O'Brien maneuvered in the building. I don't think it's the way you treat people. I don't like the way he treated Brian Gain, taking a football guy and a guy that he helped hire and stabbing him in the back after a year when he gets his first chance. I think you get what you get if you hire Bill O'Brien, and you better know in that this guy is willing to. You don't want to make him an enemy because he'll do whatever he can do to win.
All right, we've got so much more. We got so much more to talk about this. We got a lot of sound that we're going to hear from people around the league. We'll talk about the possibilities for head coach for the Houston Texans. We've also got Kelvin Sampson, U of H fans, joining us at the bottom of the hour at 8:30 here, and Evan Drellich is also going to join us. He's a Major League Baseball writer for The Athletic. We'll see where we are going with the right now with the lockout and everything that's going on there. So we've got that going on all day long here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. But right now we've got Craig DeCerf.
Craig DeCerf does such an amazing job of making sure that you are happy. And your happiness can depend on a lot of different things. First and foremost, it's about your price on the vehicle and dealer cash back and incentives and things like that. Secondly, it's going to be about what are you going to get for your trading value. Thirdly, it's about, well, what is the car buying experience like? I mean, am I going to get hassled? Am I going to get hustled? Am I going to have people in my face asking me what do I have to do to get you to buy this car? None of that. They don't have anything like that going on in Angleton. That's not the way people from Angleton operate. Are you kidding me? I mean, at Gulf Coast Chevy Buick GMC, it's going to be a sales experience that is going to be a friendly one. It's not aggressive at all. It's a very passive one. You control the experience. And then when it comes to sales staff, they are going to be there to take care of you during the sale. And then the people who are there in the service department will take care of you after the sale. So you are going to really enjoy the experience, and you'll be telling your friends and neighbors and coworkers about Gulf Coast Chevy Buick GMC. It's 42 minutes from downtown, but I'm telling you, it's worth the drive. Go to LanceZCars.com. That's LanceZCars.com.
This is Carlos Correa, All-Star and World Series champion, and big fan of Gulf Coast Chevrolet in Angleton. No one will treat you better. Chevy, find new roads.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, this is The Bench with John Granato and Lance Erline on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
All right, 7:48 on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. 713-780-3776 if you want to get in here. 713-780-3776 is the number. We had Adam Schefter on a little while ago. And he told us this has nothing to do. The Deshaun situation doesn't change a bit. I'm still wondering, though. Now, Brian Flores is going to the Bears, or to interview with the Bears. So I don't think that would be part of a package deal. But it's the agents are the same, David Mulugeta, Brian Flores, Deshaun Watson. Apparently, Brian Flores was pounding the table for Deshaun Watson in Miami. But did you see the list? He said he told. Apparently, he had an argument with Tua and said we should have drafted Mac Jones.
Yeah,
right.
Supposedly Herb Mac Jones.
Yeah. Oh, did he say? Yeah, didn't he say Mac Jones?
You mean Herbert, probably.
Mac Jones. Here, let's see. Should have waited a year. Mac Jones. Here's that.
The Miami question for me is, which I think they're going to find out if people are honest in the interview, right? Like a lot of people are never honest in the interview. They tell the owners what they want to hear. They tell the GMs what they want to hear. But if you're really honest, are you going to sit there and say, I can build a team around Tua? Because that's what Ross wants to hear. That's what Brian Flores wouldn't say. I mean, we've seen all the conversations that Flores basically had with Tua, where Flores told Tua at halftime of the Tennessee game, this has all been reported. I mean, look, I don't think Flores was shy about telling him, hey, I should have picked Mac Jones. I mean, I don't think he was shy about telling him that. In fact, I know that he wasn't. You know, I remember I said there was commentary between the head coach and Tua during the season, and I wouldn't reveal what the conversation was. Well, the conversation was, hey, if I'd have knew you were going to be this bad, I'd have picked Tua. I would have picked Mac Jones. That's the conversation. So, you know, I don't think there was any. So the next guy come in, if Flores felt that way, how is the next guy going to come in and fix it? You say, well, they're going to run an offense that suits what Tua does. They are running an offense that suits what Tua does. It's the only offense you can run. It's the only one you can run. You got to run an RPO where he can throw little passes and run after the catch.
That's a dab. He should have dabbed after he said all that.
now there is a disclaimer here, right, Aaron?
So, yeah, he tweeted out after that, started making the rounds. He quote tweeted that and said, those were my words, not exactly what Brian Flores said. This is what I had heard Brian Flores said. So this is me paraphrasing.
That's a CYA. He got it from Brian.
Yeah.
That's a CYA. They're both New England guys. So that's a CYA. Regardless, I know it. I've been told it. You know? What he said was, then he had a CYA move. Trust me, everything he said is accurate. He got some heat for it. He tried to soften the blow. But I do wonder about the Mac Jones, because that was the next year. I do know that they were also considering Justin Herbert. And the talk is that Dan Marino was a big part in why Tua was drafted instead of Justin Herbert. Either way you look at it, both quarterbacks are better than Tua. And so there you go. Brian Flores is out there. I do know this for a fact now. Deshaun Watson will not ever be a Houston Texan again. I had to dig around on that. I'm just curious. Like, no. It is his problems primarily rest with ownership. And it ain't going to change. No matter who the head coach here is, he knows that Cal is still the owner. And Deshaun just doesn't want to ever play for Cal McNair again. Just fundamentally doesn't believe he knows what he's doing.
Well, oh, really? I mean, now, listen, Deshaun has made a lot of poor decisions, mm-hmm. like at least 22 of them. This is a really good one, not wanting to play for Cal.
Yeah, so even if Brian Flores is hired here, which I don't think is going to happen, Deshaun will not be back with Houston,
can we
Texas.
Put it?
He still loves Miami. I mean, I don't know how that would work out, but, you know, I think the Giants would be in play if they decided to go after Deshaun
about
Watson.
Incompetence.
I think living in New York appeals to him. I think Denver would appeal to him. I don't think Minnesota would appeal.
I'm pretty sure that. Well, I mean, if he wants to be alone there, you know, as one of the only African Americans in the state.
Oh no, you know, it's the biggest Somalian. It's like massive Somalian
sense.
Population.
Makes perfect sense.
I don't know why that is. I don't know why that is. That's kind of like there's the huge Mexican population in Chicago, like literally Mexican nationals who moved to Chicago. That doesn't make sense to me.
Well, it's a big city. I mean, there's you know, the big ethnic groups in
it's
every
further,
major city.
Right, but it's further away. It's freezing cold.
New York
cold.
Has a huge everything.
Well, they have a huge everything. Houston has a huge everything.
Yeah. I mean, Houston makes a lot of sense. Let me ask you this, though.
Minnesota and Somalians, I'm like, this feels random.
Let's put an incompetence number on the Houston Texans. Okay. Honestly, relatively speaking,
I'm going to lower it with Bill O'Brien being gone. Just so you know, with Nick Caserio there, it was as high as you. It's 100 on the Madden meter, but I'd make it 86.
But this, Mike 91, Florio 91. Said, you know, he gets a pass for this first hire because, you know, of the whole situation. He wasn't going to get a good coach in here. He knew that this was a stopgap. I get all of that. But the incompetence level of paying David Culley as much money as this organization has to pay him, it just is it just ratchets up the number.
Well, it
again.
Just shows that the owner has no common sense at all. What he gave Nick Caserio, what he's giving Jack Easterby, what he gave, what he allowed them to do with the contracts of Deshaun Watson and Laremy Tunsil, the contract to David Culley. Oh my gosh. Does there
the
no
trading
sense?
Of DeAndre Hopkins.
It's just a fun. It's not my money, but it is a fundamental. It is a fundamental incompetence that you're paying multiple coaches and general managers at the same time.
But this is on Nick. Nick's the one that hired him.
Right
Nick's
now,
the
yeah.
One that allegedly negotiated it, or at least
I don't know.
Had a say in it.
I don't know how that happened.
No. So what the hell? I thought that the incompetence was gone with the removal of Bill O'Brien. It's not. They're still, yeah. They still can't be dumber. They still cannot be dumber. I mean, anyone who thought that David Culley was going to be a 5-year coach here is an idiot. You know he was a stopgap. He was a puppet. He was just somebody who could soothe over and lick the wounds of all of the all of the knifing that Bill O'Brien gave this organization. That's all he was. For them to give him this kind of money, to me, it just stinks. It just smells of, oh my God, nothing changes. And Deshaun's tweet, the more things change, ... it can't be more dead on. And to me, this is so unbelievable that they get. And oh, by the way,
but you don't care about him being
one and done coach.
But you don't care about him. But you also don't think he would. See, that's the weird thing.
No, he's not. He shouldn't have never been hired.
Like, it's not like we're saying, man, you got to give that more time, that coach more time to do what he's going to do and build this out. No, that's not what we're saying. I mean, but at the same time, if you're going to hire him, it's just so high. It's just so unprecedented. I don't know what to say. It sucks for him that he got 1 year. It's amazing the amount of money he gets for 1 year. Like, it's truly astonishing. It is to the point of, like, that's something that is only reserved for Major League Baseball and NBA players, guaranteed, like, that chunk of guaranteed money for 1 year.
Yeah.
And yet, I don't think he ever should have even been in the job. I don't have a problem with him fundamentally changing directions into a more competent coach.
None of that.
Like, it's just the strangest. It's the strangest thing I've ever seen.
No. It 2 years would have been max for David Culley. Listen, the Tunsil thing, I understand. Tunsil had all of the leverage. If he would have become a free agent after they gave up two ones and two, the city would have exploded.
Well,
you had to give him 22.
But you made a mistake on the front end against the urging of your competent salary cap guy.
So, but I understand that you had no leverage. You had all the leverage in the world in the David Culley deal, all the leverage in the world, and yet it was another $22 million deal. It just is amazing to me how stupid they are. It's just amazing.
It's not about the money. It's about the stupidity. Because eventually, a lot of times, the money is a problem. But, I mean, if you can afford to pay Rick and Brian Gain and Nick Caserio, like, basically, you know, concurrently, and Bill O'Brien and David Culley, I don't know. Bill O'Brien may have taken, I don't know how it went. He may have taken a lump sum, something like that. But in essence, you will have three coaches under contract simultaneously. Bill O'Brien, David Culley, and your next head coach. You will have, in theory, three coaches with guaranteed contracts running simultaneously. Once again, the buyouts may alter that or change that. That's just absolutely outlandish.
Incompetent is all it is. It's 7:58. We got so many people that want to get in here. 713-780-3776. We take your calls. We got more sound that we got to hear. All of these things here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. In the meantime, that's no jab at the organ. Well, yes, it is. They're incompetent.
Yeah. Site Jab is here to. Site Jab's like, hey, leave us out of it. Site Jab, you are doing a great job. And I've seen the work that they've done over the years, and they do work for small businesses. They do it for large businesses, for restaurants, for websites, for radio stations. They build websites from the ground floor up. They can have very complicated websites that have video integration and multiple layers of portfolio expansion where you show all of your work in great detail. They can integrate e-commerce onto your site, or it could be simple. It could be a one or two sheeter where basically you get the information out there that you need. You want it to look great and tell people who you are and make sure they can get in contact with you. So whatever you're doing, SiteJab can, whatever you need, SiteJab can do it. They also handle branding, video production, logo production, social media management. There's so much that SiteJab is doing right now. Go to the website, sitejab.com, to find their entire suite of products and see how they can help your small to medium-sized business grow. SiteJab.com.
This is Heisman Trophy winner, College Hall of Fame, Billy Sims, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5.